If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. This is Hour 2. Now, something that's a little new to us, Tim, we talk a lot about ghosts, UFOs, Bigfoot, all the strange and unusual parts of the world, but we very rarely get into the conspiracy theory angles of what's going on in the world.
Which is actually one of my favorite things.
Is it?
Yep.
You like that?
Absolutely.
Well, good. Then I'm glad that on my birthday I could give you this gift.
Well, I appreciate it. It's
tonight,
about time.
November 22nd, 2008. We actually had this guest on earlier in the month, and we were talking with him, and he tantalized us a little bit with some information about the Committee of 300. Our guest is Norman Shealy, and he's one of the world's leading experts in pain management. He was among the first physicians ever to specialize in the resolution of chronic pain, a pioneer in developing safe and effective treatments such as biogenics. He founded in 1971 the first comprehensive pain and stress management facility in the country, the Shealy Institute. He's respected worldwide for its innovative and successful rehabilitation approaches. And over the years, Dr. Shealy's intensive pain and stress management research has resulted in numerous pioneering treatments. His published works over 275. His seminars and workshops are given worldwide and attended by physicians and laypersons alike. He's acted as consultant to leaders in every specialty, including personal physicians of President Kennedy and Eisenhower. We wanted to talk with him as we were chatting on the end of our show last time about the Committee of 300. We mentioned it here, and he gave a prediction, Tim, if you remember, that the presidency would be won by Obama. It was already in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
So let's welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town, Dr. Norman Shealy. Good evening, Mr. Shealy.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for coming back with us. So now you mentioned to me prior to our first show that we did with you that Obama had already won. It was out of everybody's hands. It was already in place, and he would go. And I said, all right, well, let's have you make that prediction live on air long before the election took place. And you did, and he won, and you were right. And you were talking to me briefly about the Committee of 300, and I this is just something that intrigues Tim and I. We're always interested in hearing more about these fascinating facts. Now, maybe you can give us some background for people that are just tuning in that don't understand this. What exactly is the Committee of 300?
Well, it is a group of what I would kindly call the evil empire, who for at least the last several hundred years, and probably actually since the fall of the Roman Empire, have been trying to gain control of the world. I think almost everybody knows, for instance, that the Rothschilds, in every war in the last three or four centuries, has been backed on both sides of the war by the Rothschilds, who are one of the core components of the Committee of 300. They don't care who wins to a greater or lesser extent, because they make money either way.
Okay.
And I actually first began to have dreams about this almost 30 years ago, after reading the first book called None Dare Call It Conspiracy by a man named Abraham. And he put it in perspective, and starting with Karl Marx, forward. This group is truly behind the scenes manipulating. And today, they literally own the media. The thing that shocked me most, I think, when I finally read the latest book, which is The Conspiracy's Hierarchy, The Committee of 300 by John Coleman, is that Fox belongs to them as well as all the others. You know, I sort of thought Fox had a little bit of opposite thing at times. But they play each end against the other, because their goal is to create chaos and make money.
But how, by creating chaos, do you make money? Like right now with the our economy's in turmoil.
Who do you think's making all the money out of this, David? Somebody always makes money.
That's true. That's
even
true.
Even at the height of the Depression, there were people who benefited. The committee creates things like this. It's to a greater or lesser extent. They're the ones who created the chaos we're in now. And they wanted us to have another big depression, which is, forget calling it a recession. This is going to be a true depression. And it will, you know, cause a lot of chaos. And they will make more money out of it.
So you believe that this is, we're going to surpass recession right now. We're heading into another Great Depression?
This is going to be called the Greater Depression when it's all over.
Yikes. How long do you think this will last?
Oh, if we're lucky, 8 to 10 years.
Ouch.
If we're lucky. Now, I want to also point out that in the last depression, and I was born at the very peak of it, in 1932. By the way, Tim, happy birthday.
That's my birthday.
I'll pass along to Dave.
Sorry. Well, I heard somebody say, I wasn't sure who said it.
Yep.
Well, happy birthday.
Well,
you're on the cusp.
Yes, I am, and boy, did that hurt.
Well, I'm past the cusp. I'm a true Sag. At any rate, my father grew up very poor. He stopped school at age 10 because his father died, and he went to work as a butcher to help take care of his family. By the time I was born, he was, you know, in his early 20s. We never suffered. By the time I finished, well, but before I finished high school, by the time I was 12, he owned a whole grocery store as well as a farm. And did very well. And during the entire Depression, we never suffered. The people who suffer in a Depression are those who have been just plain financially stupid. They have over-invested in junk. They have, you know, not been wise in saving money and buying wisely. And, of course, they gamble. And, of course, what we've had now in the last 40-plus years is periods of sort of like going up a step at a time up the mountain of debt, that people borrow this and borrow that. And of course, nobody pays attention to the greatest cause of this depression, which is something called derivatives. And derivatives are junk paper in which they sell stuff that has no value and sell it for more money, and it keeps subdividing. It's almost like a virus. And it is now estimated that there's $1.14 quadrillion of money in derivatives. Now, here's $1.14 quadrillion, which is $1 trillion, dollars, which is more than the net worth of the entire world. That's got to be wiped out if we're going to ever get back to basic again. And the people, you know, yes, a lot of decent people are going to lose because they were invested in this junk without knowing that it was being done that way. But the people who mostly are going to suffer are the true high rollers. They will not come out well. But let's get back to the committee.
You know what's interesting, if I can make a mention kind of on a weird sidebar here, is there's a story of a John by the name of John Titor, I believe it is, Tim. Remember, we covered this back in like year one of our radio show.
Titor or Titor, yeah.
Yeah, and he's supposedly a time traveler.
Mm-hmm.
And his story was that he had come back and he was gathering up things that we had in our time here to take back into the future because of this huge, like, war-like thing that's going to happen very soon. And he mentions that it almost sounds like a very depressive state of affairs that happened between now and 2012. Sometime in there, we're going to enter into this depression-like state. And family will be much closer. You'll be doing a lot more of your own growing of food and taking care of your own stuff. And travel and all that is going to pretty much ground halt. We're almost going to go back in time because of what's coming up for it. And it almost sounds like that with us reaching into another depression, which is going to be the Greater Depression. And the problems people are going to be faced with and the financial ruin, it almost sounds like that was what John Titor was referring to as well. And I'm wondering if, you know, as we're starting to see the economy falter and things collapsing like this, if there is something more to that. Are you familiar with that story at all, Dr. Shealy?
I'm not familiar with that story, but it sounds real to me.
Yeah.
Dr. Shealy, let me hit you with something more conventional in I guess, economic theory or speculation. It's said that depending on if you elect a president that is the opposite party of the incumbent party on an election year, and you're in an economic downturn, that downturn will soon find its level or work its way back up. Why do you think in this case that wouldn't happen with Obama being elected president?
Well, that's an interesting aphorism in a sense that you just mentioned, because I would point out that Franklin D. Roosevelt was of the opposite party, elected in 1932,
mm-hmm.
and actually the Depression got much worse after
okay.
that. So I think that instead of it being an opposite party brings about a change, sometimes the opposite party gets caught in the squeeze, and we already, as a nation, are in debt up beyond our nose.
Right.
And now, I guess the second part of this question, and this leads us back into the Committee of 300, would be that you could basically blame this particular swing of recession in greed. People wanting their credit, And here's my point. That is, we've borrowed more money from foreign nations and created a bigger deficit. Does this tie in somehow to that Committee of 300? And is a Committee of 300 more of a worldwide power than it is just a national power?
Oh, yeah. It has really nothing to do with this country. In fact, guess who owns and controls the Committee of 300?
The Chinese?
The Queen of England.
Really?
And it isn't just, I mean, you know, that just happens to be the ring pin, and she's got all of these subdivisions under it. Every president is elected when the committee wants somebody that can be their puppet. And if they're not their puppet, they have them assassinated. And, of course, John Coleman goes into great detail in the fourth edition of his book. If you please go to the Committee of 300 and get the fourth edition, because it's twice as big as the second edition. He goes into details about the assassination of every one of the four presidents assassinated. They were done in by the committee because they weren't following the committee's rules.
Well, let's talk into that. We have to take a quick break here. Let's talk a little bit about the assassinations of the presidents when we come back, especially now that tonight is the anniversary of the assassination of John F. Kennedy. We'll be back with more. You're listening to Darkness Radio. Tonight we're talking about conspiracy theories, the Committee of 300, and our guest is Dr. Norm Shealy. We'll be back with more. Good evening. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. Remember, if you listen and missed any part of tonight's show or any of our past shows and you'd like to check up on them, go to our website, click on the podcast, and you'll be able to subscribe there so you never miss an episode. You can download them right for your iTunes player and download them off of iTunes as well. But that way you can keep up with all of our shows. They are commercial-free shows. We do hope that you'll check those out and spend some more time with us in the Darkness on the Edge of Town. Our guest this evening, Dr. Norm Shealy, we're talking about the Committee of 300, and before a commercial break, we were talking about the assassination of the four different presidents. And at what you said that they like to elect the people that they feel that they can be puppets. Aren't they aware of these people and knowing that they're going to be strong-willed before they get into office, Dr. Shealy? Wouldn't they, like with Kennedy, wouldn't they have known that this guy was kind of a renegade, and if they got him into power, he might kind of go and do what he wanted to do?
Well, in general, they expect these people to follow instructions from the committee.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes people have a return to sanity, and they don't. Johnson knew all about it, and you know, Johnson never deviated from what the committee wanted.
Right.
Because he knew he'd be assassinated. You know, the detail about this, which has never been released other than it, than, to my knowledge, other than in John's book, is on pages 384 forward, he details quite perfectly how it was the British intelligence, M16, in which the CIA and FBI played great roles because they take their instructions from England. I think it's interesting, and people could argue for or against it, but if you begin to look at the total number of books on this subject, you know, there's an old thing about where there's smoke, there's got to be a fire. there's a huge hurricane of smoke around this whole concept that most people, of course, are not going to pay attention to because they don't want to believe in conspiracies.
Right.
It's not a question of believing or not believing. It's really a question of, okay, let's just talk about the one thing that is now actually increasingly released to the public about Roosevelt.
Okay.
Roosevelt planned our entry to World War II. He campaigned on not entering the war. He knew the Japanese were going to attack Pearl Harbor 3 to 6 months before it happened. He did not announce this. This actually is now on public television. It's not some kook out there telling you this.
Right.
This kind of information is often released 40, 50 years later. Because nobody, you know, not much you could do about it 40, 50 years later. So Roosevelt actually purposefully, deceptively allowed, you know, 1,500 plus of our people to be killed in Pearl Harbor in order to get us into the war. That's deception. That is what it's all about, is doing what the committee wants done. And the committee, you know, remember, the Rothschild family supported Hitler as well as the Brits in World War II. They financially supported both sides because they make money either way. And
isn't it said that the Bush family has also got ties to Hitler in World War II?
Oh, sure. The grandfather of
George
George Bush Sr., grandfather George W., was very much a Nazi sympathizer, and that was well known way back in those days. And, of course, Clinton now is part of the clique, so to speak, a rather minor player, but he joined in because he wanted to stay alive and have power. And that's really what happens. Most of these people have the potential for power. They get in power, and then they're scared of their life if they want to break out. It isn't going to happen.
I wonder, too, though, maybe you can address this and enlighten us from what you know or what's been passed through to you then. There's been a lot of speculation to 9/11 being an inside job.
I know. And I think the evidence is quite strong that it probably is, and it may be 40 or 50 years before it gets out to the public. But there are certain discrepancies that are almost impossible to deny.
But what people are going to want to know, Dr. Shealy, is why? Why would we attack our own people in our country? To what end?
Oh, well, my God, look what it did to Bush. What it allowed him to do, he became almost a dictator in pushing us into two wars, Afghanistan first, and then quite illegally into Iraq.
Right.
And it's given him all this national security nonsense where you have to take off your shoes to get on a plane. I mean, let's face it. It allowed him for 7 years now to keep us in a state of suspended terror. It's a great way to control people. Hitler did the same kind of thing.
So it was under a guise of terror, and then he was also able to get jobs for his buddies and kind of control how the money was spent to do what's going on out there.
Exactly.
So you think that's what it was?
And look who's Secretary of Treasury, Paulson. A pimp from Goldman Sachs. I mean, my God, he's got $700 billion in his pocket, and he's done nothing useful with it. I mean, he's definitely just part of the pawn that's in this play. I mean, the bailout is one of, in my opinion, maybe even a greater tragedy than Vietnam and Iraq combined, because it truly just bankrupts the common person. And who will make all the money? Well, ultimately, some aspect of the committee.
Now, you understand, though, from a layman's point, a lot of us, and maybe I'm just one of the blinded sheep. I mean, it's just it seems so impossible to believe that there's 300 and essentially 300 people that control the destiny of the entire planet is basically what the Committee of 300 is, right?
I'm sure that you have seen the article some years ago that the entire Reformation was a result of 1,000 people. They brought around.
Right.
Change of the Western world. Well, now, it's the committee, actually, of 300 has many more than 1,000 people in positions of power because there are all these, if you will, subcommittees.
Right.
Under, so it's not just 300 people, it's 300 organizations that ultimately, I mean...
But we know this, that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Exactly.
What would keep one of these powers of 300 from starting to, I don't know, I'm thinking Tony Soprano here from The Soprano Show, from whacking other families to start taking over more power and make it the committee at, you know, 285?
I think that's one of the reasons that they haven't succeeded in taking over the world.
Is that there's too much infighting?
Of course. I mean, this has always been true, too.
Right.
Stupid, evil people don't know their own bounds. The list of organizations that is part of this is also, I mean, it's so long, but let's just go. Basically, they control the insurance industry, the banking industry, including our stupid Federal Reserve, which is unconstitutional, real estate markets, the entertainment field, high technology, space weaponry. I mean, that's just part of what they control. They control the Bank of England, the Federal Reserve banks, all of them, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, the Hong Kong and Shanghai Bank, American Express. Do I want me to keep reading? I mean, they literally, and the media, every aspect, from CNN to Time to ABC to NBC, all of them are controlled by this committee. So it's not just 300 people. It's 300 core organizations that then control everything else.
Well, we'll delve into this a little bit more when we come back from break. We have to take another break here. Everybody stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio, Paranormal Radio Talk tonight. We're talking about conspiracy theories, the Committee of 300, the Evil Empire, finding out just how deep their reach really goes into our world and what are they controlling, what's going on in our world, and what we have to maybe look forward or not look forward to in our future. Stay tuned. You're listening to Darkness Radio right here on your home for Paranormal Talk Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 9 to midnight. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. This evening, our guest, Dr. Norman Shealy, and we're discussing the Committee of 300, the Evil Empire, the people that are, controlling, I guess, the puppet masters of our world. And Dr. Shealy, I'm curious, one of the fears I've always had, I'm not a bigot, I have no racial injustice problems with any of these races at all, and my fear with having a black president had nothing to do with him being black. It had to do with the fact that I believe some idiot white guy is going to take a shot at him and that the streets are going to go crazy with riots.
Well, so there's no question in my mind that if he is assassinated, we will have riots.
Now,
and
China holds our biggest
committee to put him there just to do that.
That's what I was afraid of, is China. China holds our biggest debt, if I'm understanding correctly.
Right.
And China is kind of like the silent giant waiting for us to screw up. And we've got these cracks that are definitely showing in the shell right now of our delicate little egg here in the United States. If something were to happen to Obama and civil unrest begins here, are we just a pick and plate for the Chinese to come in and kind of do what they want?
Well, I think that's entirely possible. Basically, there is a widespread belief that the committee would like to reduce the population of the world to 1 billion people. And obviously, wars and famines and other such things are one way to get there.
Well, we're always worried about World War III. Could the most dangerous and deadly war be the Civil War that could break out in the United States with the death of our first black president?
It could be. I think it's more likely still that it will happen in the Middle East. We've already set up a minimum of 100 war a year. I said that before Bush invaded Iraq. We clearly set up an antagonism with whatever number it is, a billion plus Muslims. And that's not going to go away. It's not going to go away with this president or any other in the immediate future, because all it's done is increase their anger. And I think, actually, as I see it, it is the basic, most radical Muslims and the Chinese communists who may be the only things that create some counterbalance to the Committee of 300. In other words, I don't think, as far as I can tell, that the committee controls either the radical Muslims or the Chinese. And so one of their things is to, you know, provoke them to do things that help waste our money and people.
So
with the idea that ultimately they believe they will win, if necessary, in an atomic war.
Do you think that that's coming our way here within the next 5 to 10 years?
I think there is a strong possibility that the great weakness of Obama, and I think, you know, he's so weak in his understanding, I think, of the international situation. I think the great weakness is that it will lead Israel to have to feel that it has to bomb Iran. And that'll really get the conflict going. Because Obama's not likely to be nearly as supportive of Israel as past administrations have. And, of course, this conflict between the Muslims and the Jews has been going on for 1,300 years. Ever since, even before Muhammad died.
Right.
Going on, and population-wise, of course, the Muslims have dominated in population, but not in power and strength. And yet, if they got an atomic bomb and decided to use it, it could start the true cataclysmic thing. I don't know. I think I would give you at least a 50-50 chance that during the next 4 years, there'll be some type of nuclear war in the Middle East.
Dr. Sheely, let me ask you this. What is the 300's interest in Israel? It seems like every administration, since the formation of Israel, has been solidly behind it. And I understand backing up an underdog. I understand that the U.S. had direct involvement in forming Israel and making sure that it stayed safe. But what is the 300's interest in Israel and the fact that they keep it going?
Well, let's face it, the Rothschilds are Jewish. They are part of the kingpins of this whole thing. So I think, to a greater or lesser extent, that's the key. If they are, sort of the central bankers more than any other single family, and they're Jewish, they've got power. And that's part of their power broking. And the interesting is, by the way, I am very close friends with a granddaughter of the Baroness Rothschild. I don't think the individual family members are often involved in this. I think it's one chosen, it's sort of like in the Catholic families, they choose one person to go into the priesthood or the nunnery. I think that these families choose one or two members to carry on the tradition, and the rest of people don't even know what's going on.
Let me lend a little bit more to your conspiracy theory here with the soon-to-come administration, the Obama administration. President-elect Obama picked Senator Joe Biden as his running mate, I think with the idea that he was strong in foreign policy, but would you argue that maybe Senator Joe Biden knows enough about the 300 to keep Obama on task, and that's why he's his running mate?
Exactly. You bet. You can't be in Senate as long as he has without knowing what's going on. Hey, I'll give you one other thing, and because this is very much related to Minnesota. Al Quie, who was one of the most wonderful, wonderful people your state has ever produced, was a congressman from Minnesota for 22 years, and after that became governor. And Al told us that he quit Congress after 22 years because there were not enough honest people there that he felt it was ever going to be able to be changed. That was about 1980. And so here's this really honest person who wasn't taken up by the corruption and dishonesty, and he quit because he didn't feel it was possible in our situation, and now we're talking about 28 years ago, that it would ever change. Al, I think, is now about 82.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, Tim, you had mentioned to me, and maybe we could get Dr. Sheely to weigh in on this, but you had mentioned to me something Jesse Ventura, as governor, had stated.
Yeah, and I'd like to get Dr. Sheely's impression on this. This was actually pretty interesting, and you can find the videos on YouTube. Jesse Ventura, when he was governor of Minnesota, said that in the governor's mansion, residing there are CIA agents, and that he knows this because when he was elected governor of Minnesota, he was introduced to the outgoing CIA agent who is retiring, and that he shook hands and met the new CIA agent who was incoming, and pretty much was, the way Jesse describes it, was he was brought down to the basement of the governor's mansion. He was surrounded by agents, and they wanted to know specifically how he got elected here in Minnesota. They wanted to know the process of how he kind of went around the system and got elected. And he found this very fascinating. But one of the things Jesse brings up is the CIA is not to operate within the borders of a state.
Well, remember who was the head of CIA before he was president?
George Bush.
That's one of the reasons I never trusted him from the beginning, because anybody who's been the head of the CIA is suspect. They are totally controlled by the committee. And apparently they infiltrate everything throughout the world.
So what do you feel then is the, what do you feel is the reasoning? I mean, why would the CIA be in the governor's mansions and running this part of our government? What is their take?
It probably is everywhere. Probably every governor's mansion. You know, they're keeping people towing the line. I'd love to know whether they've got Sarah Palin under, you know, attack in Alaska, but I don't know. I do know that I believe that it is this way. Now, I just want to mention a few of the other books. I mentioned None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Abraham. He later wrote one called Call It Conspiracy. And there are several books by David Icke, I-C-K-E, the most obnoxious I mean, it's so far out, and yet it's part of the story of The Biggest Secret. And his latest one is The David Icke Guide to the Global Conspiracy and How to End It, although I can't say that he really tells me how to end it, other than the fact that we've got to make it known to people. And sooner or later, the more this is brought out into the open, the more likely it is that they can't stay anonymous and behind the scenes.
Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up with you. Our guest is Dr. Norm Sheely. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. This evening, we're discussing conspiracy theories, and we're talking with Dr. Norm Sheely. Dr. Sheely, before the break, you were telling us about some of the books people can check into. And you mentioned something interesting. You said the one book was really far-fetched. I think that's what a lot of people have a hard time wrapping their head around, is that some of this, it is so hard to believe that there is just such a global evil banking on our failure and misery in order to make money. I just got to feel that there's something more to what's going on out there than just greed. And I know it's important to get this word out there, but how do we get the word out there and make people actually believe that this is going on?
Now, Dave, we did discuss early on what caused the current financial crisis: greed.
Right.
Look at all of these people, from Fannie Mae to Goldman Sachs. It doesn't matter. All of them. It was pure greed that brought them down. It is greed that has ruined our automotive industry. Greed and stupidity. And so what is always rule the world? What did Caesar want? What did Alexander want? They wanted control of the world. It was power, and power is money, and positions of power, isn't it?
Yes.
And power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. So here we have these people who love to gain power, and they have been doing it increasingly over many centuries. But now we have such phenomenal communication stuff, it's time for people to be aware of it. And so I just advise people, read these books. If you do nothing else, give them to your friends. I don't have anything involved financially in any of this. I think John Coleman's fourth edition is the best of the lot. And you can certainly find it online at www.coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N, 300.com. I would definitely recommend that you, if nothing else, stuff it into every stocking you know for Christmas. You'll have to, by the way, call them probably because you can send it, but I wouldn't order it by email because you have to put it in a regular email rather than a shopping cart. It's worth it. I bought five copies already, which I'm giving away, and I recommend that everybody do the same. And then if you want to go further, get David Icke's Guide to the Global Conspiracy and How to End It. And if you don't want to get that involved, go back to None Dare Call It Conspiracy, because that's one of the foundation books that brought me an awareness of what was going on. And everything that I've seen in the last 30 years confirms what Abraham was pointing out in the early 70s. So,
well, if we globalize, the whole world finds out about this, what can we do?
Well, light destroys darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically, truth always ultimately wins. Justice is sometimes slow, but I believe that in this case, just bringing these people out, and among other things, knock out every single person in Congress who doesn't agree to reform the situation. I mean, for instance, the Federal Reserve is the most ludicrous thing going on in our country. It is totally out of control of Congress, the people, and every other federal organization. It's an independent group of people. It has no one controlling the Federal Reserve except... Yeah, I mean, just read about the Federal Reserve, and you'll understand what I'm getting at. So first thing we've got to do is get enough people really upset that they force Congress to abolish the Federal Reserve, because they're the ones who pull the strings.
Right, but if the Committee of 300 is in charge, what good is our uprising if they just can keep squashing what we do? And the other curious question I have is, if they're in charge of the media and the press and they're in charge of this, how are they allowing books like these to be published and put out there?
Well... people like John Coleman live in total private seclusion because they've been attacked one way or another many times. And so, you know, it does happen. Just as, and here we are 60 years later learning the truth about Roosevelt and Pearl Harbor. Now, suppose we had learned the truth about Roosevelt and Pearl Harbor in 1942 instead of now. It could have changed history. But the truth was suppressed for all of those years. And so that is one of the reasons. It's too late, two generations or more later. It has to happen in each generation that people really understand. And
how do we know? You know, with one of the things that we find in the world of the paranormal is that, especially with UFOs and abductions, and we're going to be talking with our next guest, as a matter of fact, in about 10 minutes here with our next guest about alien abductions and her stories. But what we find a lot of times is that the government officials that do come forward do what's called misinformation. They'll give enough of the truth and then falsify enough of it so that if you kind of take apart the bad part, it makes you wonder if the whole thing is worth junk. How do we know that the people like, David Icke's, haven't been given this information, some of it true, some of it BS, so that, you know, they go out, they present this, and then later on the government can go, look, we can pick apart this whole part of his battle, and if we can show you how easily that can be dismantled, this guy's a nutcase.
Well, in fact, that's what they do. They do declare you a nutcase, and of course, sometimes they kill them. If they can't get far enough with creating them as a nut. They actually have them murdered, and that's documented several times in Coleman's books. I just think we all have to keep reading and pushing for the truth, and in my opinion, actually, probably the single most important thing is to get the Federal Reserve abolished, because making money should not be in the hands of people who are not under direct congressional control.
Let me ask you a quick question here, Dr. Sheely. During the election, Senator McCain said he wanted either the Treasury or the Federal Reserve to start buying up bad mortgages. And
well, I think McCain is a toad.
And that's pretty much where I was going with the question is, do you think that the 300s candidate didn't get elected in this election?
No. I think the 300s candidate always gets elected. You know, they play both sides of it, always. They control McCain and they control Obama. And if they lose control, they'll disappear.
Hmm.
No, unfortunately, McCain was just too weak. Totally weak.
Why, at the last minute, introduce this plan to buy up bad mortgages by using the Treasury Department, the Federal Reserve?
Well, in my opinion, that was his swan song. I think if he had stayed to where he should have, he would have perhaps won. But that was one of his most stupid things. But remember, both of them supported it. Both of them supported it, not just one.
So do you think that plan will see the light of day eventually? I mean, right now you've got the auto industry looking for a bailout. You're talking about way to try and reverse the mortgage industry. All of that seems like it could play into the hands of the Federal Reserve, correct?
Of course it does. They're the ones who will make all the money. They are the ones who will make all of the money in the long run.
Well, so what do we do as taxpayers to say, well, you know, that's not what we want, other than bothering our congresspeople?
You tell your congresspeople, and if you don't help us get this resolved, we will do everything in our power to vote you out of office next time. And we've only got 2 years till we can vote out everybody who's in the House.
With that being said, if the 300 wants their candidate in there, how is our vote going to change anything?
Well, I think it can. I mean, remember, every once in a while, the right person gets in, and they may get destroyed, but it's worth keeping on pushing. It would be nice if we could get Congress filled at one election with the right people. It could happen. Even all I got to do is get 60% of them, of the right people, and it could happen.
Well, Dr. Sheely, our time is up with you this evening. We've appreciate you coming back with us. And again, if people have questions or want to know more about you, how can they get information on Dr. Norm Sheely?
Just go to NormSheely, SHEALY.com.
NormSheely.
I have a free email newsletter. Comes out every week. And they should get this week's especially because it tells them how to avoid the flu without a flu shot.
Awesome. Stay away from people, right?
Well, take lots of vitamin D3, David.
Okay. We'll do that. And Dr. Sheely, we appreciate your time this evening, spending it here with us, and we'll look forward to having you back on the show again in the future.
Thanks, Dave and Tim. Have a great day.
Thank you. And thank you all for tuning in. We're going to be back with more. We've got more exciting guests, more exciting topics, alien abduction, indigo children, and more. You're listening to your home for the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio.